The next case for argument is Minghui Hu against Holder. You will be called. Mr. Block.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Harold Block. I represent the appellant in this case, a petitioner in this case, Minghui Hu. Mr. Hu is a gentleman who came from the Republic of China into the United States on March 27th of 1992. Was stopped when he was attempting to enter the United States.
You're confident that Wu is his family name?
Yes, at least it's a portion of his family name, Your Honor. Minghui Hu, H-U-I-W-U, I believe is his family name, Your Honor. In any event, he was stopped.
By the way, according to Wikipedia, Wu is a Chinese first name, and Minghui is a Chinese family name. And that is, of course, the normal way in which Chinese give their names, the family name first, followed by the given name. That's why I asked you if Wu, if you're confident that your client's surname is Wu.
That's my understanding of it, Your Honor, and I guess I'd have to state, given that fact, that that would be...
Wikipedia has been known to be wrong, but we usually refer to Chairman Mao rather than Chairman Sung.
I understand that, and I will have to admit to the fact that in a variety of these countries where the nomenclature and the name system is somewhat different than our familiarity.
The usual thing to do is ask your client which is his given name and which is his family name.
Well, in my communications with him and addressed to him, he never disputed my understanding of the way in which his name was. In any event, this gentleman was...
Well, let me just, because you don't have a lot of time, so let's get to the heart of this. Because this IIRIA states that the new provisions don't apply to exclusion proceedings that began before 1997. So why is your client entitled to any relief here, especially given that the government refused to terminate the exclusion proceedings or repaper?
Well,
I don't see how he falls under any exception.
Well, I believe he does fall under the exception listed under 309C2, which you're referring to 309C3, in which they have the authority to repaper and reinitiate proceedings.
Right.
309C2 is a section where they can, without repapering, actually make an election to proceed under the removal processes. And my position on that is the fact that after an absentia order was issued against this gentleman by the immigration court in 1992, 10 years later, a motion to reopen was filed on this gentleman's behalf, in which he specifically asked to reopen the case with the immigration judge under the provisions of 8 U.S.C. 1229 small a parent small b parent 5 parent parent c, which is in fact specifically and exclusively included under the provisions dealing with removal proceedings. And so there was no question about the basis for the motion, which of course included a question about adequacy of notice to the gentleman for the court hearing. But the point was that the attorney specifically filed his motion reciting that provision of the act, and it was in fact reopened on that basis, and the government attorney at the time did not respond to that or contest that in any fashion. And so it's my position that by that set of circumstances, that this is, in fact, an indication that the government was willing to proceed under the provisions as they related to removal. I should also point out in that whole context that this case, the motion to reopen took place fully 5 years after the repeal of the prior scheme, and that the decision by the judge to pretermit the application for cancellation of removal under the removal statutes did not take place until 10 years after the time that the suspension and exclusion distinction had been repealed by the change in the laws. And so that, in effect, when the immigration judge simply refused to consider the cancellation of removal application and pretermitted it, and in his rationale for doing that, relied exclusively on commentary on the distinction between suspension of removal, suspension of deportation, and exclusion proceedings, that he failed to discuss or engage at all the concept of the fact that cancellation of removal was in fact now appropriate for this gentleman, that he certainly qualified under the law, because under the removal proceedings, the facts of his entry, having been paroled into the United States, did not do anything under removal statutes to stop the accrual of his qualifying presence in the United States. Under the removal procedures, there are two distinctions. Individuals who are admitted into the United States as lawful permanent resident aliens, or alternatively, those non-lawful permanent residents who are allowed into the United States. And in the statutes that relate to the distinction as to who is not eligible for cancellation, which is 8 U.S.C. 1229 small b parent c, that does not include an indication that individuals who had been placed in exclusion proceedings were in fact indeed precluded from qualifying for cancellation. So in that context, I believe that this case legitimately belonged under cancellation procedures. And the fact that the government, on the one hand, was unwilling to repaper the case to formally do that is not totally determinative of the issue here, because rather than having this case fall under removal under IRIRA 309C3, which would have been the repapering case, I believe it actually falls within 309C2 by virtue of the actions of the government 5 years prior to the hearing in which the judge pretermitted it. For that reason, I believe that this gentleman was wrongfully denied the opportunity to have consideration of his application for which he was qualified. There was no stop time rule that was effective under the removal proceedings, because the incidents that would invoke a stop time rule would be either the issuance of an order to show cause, which never had been issued, or alternatively, issuance of a notice to appear, the current charging documents in removal proceedings. And while we're asserting that this case became a removal case when the case was reopened, there is no separate notice that is actually necessary to indicate that the case is transitioned to a removal proceeding as opposed to anything previously. For those reasons, quite frankly, I believe that this gentleman certainly had a right to have the judge consider his application for cancellation of removal relief. And when he pretermitted any consideration for that, he relied solely, in his opinion, on a matter of Torres, which was a case that was decided in 1986 and that dealt solely and exclusively with the issue about suspension of deportation eligibility when an individual was in exclusion proceedings. See that my time is up. If there aren't any further questions, I guess I would reserve for some possible rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, counsel.
Thank you.
Ms. Stripley. You can put the podium down using the switch that Mr. Weinberg used a case ago. It's on the right-hand side.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
May it please the Court, Brianna Stripley on behalf of the respondent, the Attorney General. This case presents a very straightforward and clear-cut question of whether an alien who's in exclusion proceedings is eligible for cancellation of removal, a form of relief that was established by the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996, commonly referred to as IRERA. IRERA provisions...
You must operate in a different world than I do. I don't commonly refer to it as anything. My inclination would be to refer to it as Fred. IRIRA sounds like the noise a car engine makes when it doesn't turn over properly.
That may be, and in my world we do call it IRERA, so if it's okay with the Court, I'll continue from this point with that reference. IRERA provisions are generally prospective in nature, and they're not available to aliens like Mr. Wu, who were placed in proceedings before the effective date of that, which was April 1, 1997. Although there are two narrow exceptions for this, we'd like to note that the petitioner at no point ever raised this to the board, that he qualified for either of the exceptions to be eligible for cancellation of removal. And more importantly, even if he did raise that, he didn't raise it in his opening brief to this Court, so we would argue that that issue is waived in this particular case. However, even if it was considered, he doesn't even fall within either of those very narrow exceptions. Mr. Wu was paroled into the United States in 1992.
Are you sure that that's his surname? Ming is, of course, the name of a dynasty, and Hui is one of the Ming emperors, which would lead me to think that it's Ming Hui that's the surname. But
it may be
completely wrong.
It may be possible.
The Department of Justice refers to him as Hui, though.
We basically go off of how it's entered into PACER 2 for all of our documents before this Court, so that's how we'll be referring to him. He cannot accrue the requisite physical presence necessary for cancellation of removal because he's never deemed to have entered the country because of being paroled in. This Court has already held in Sharifi that aliens in exclusion proceedings are ineligible for suspension of deportation, and suspension of deportation is the predecessor of cancellation of removal. If anything, the issue in this case, the answer to the question presented, is even more obvious. And this is because IRERA is prospective in nature. Petitioner was placed in proceedings on April 21, 1992. Congress enacted IRERA on September 30, 1996, and it became effective on April 1, 1997. Section 309C1 of IRERA specifically states that, I quote, subject to the succeeding provisions of this subsection, in the case of an alien who's in exclusion or suspension of deportation or deportation proceedings before Title 3A, effective date, which would be the April 1, 1997 date, the amendments made by this subtitle shall not apply. In other words, IRERA only applies to those aliens whose proceedings are commenced after April 1, 1997. Since petitioner was placed in proceedings in 1992, long before this provision was ever enacted or became effective, this form of relief, IRERA's form of relief, including cancellation or removal, are inapplicable to Mr. Wu. Congress chose specifically to draw this line. They chose specifically not to throw all these cases into one thing. They divided it on these terms. Petitioner cannot point to any legal authority supporting this proposition. The statute at no point says that an alien who is in exclusion proceedings is eligible for cancellation of removal. The Sixth Circuit was asked to decide this exact issue, and in Fernan, and the Sixth Circuit held, relying on Section 309C1 of IRERA, that an alien in exclusion proceedings is ineligible for cancellation of removal because the effective date of IRERA was April 1, 1997, and that the statute was generally prospective. There are two narrow exceptions, and I would reiterate that this was not raised to the board, and therefore petitioner failed to exhaust that he somehow qualified for one of these two narrow exceptions. Furthermore, it wasn't raised in his opening brief to the Court. It was only raised in the reply brief after a respondent has already argued that he did not qualify. The first narrow exception is under Section 309C2, which states that if no evidentiary hearing has been held, the Attorney General may choose, with regard to either deportation or exclusion proceedings, to apply all the provisions of IRERA retroactively, which would include cancellation of removal. However, there's contrary to petitioner's argument, there's no evidence in this case that this actually happened. or that the Attorney General made this election in any way, shape, or form. Petitioner's argument that this motion to reopen somehow changed proceedings is without merit. A motion to reopen, granting that, does not change proceedings. Proceedings have always been exclusion, and it was when he commenced when he filed the filing of the I-122 form. And it has never changed merely because these proceedings were reopened. The second narrow exception is under Section 309C3, which states that if no final order has been entered, the Attorney General may terminate the original proceedings, be they exclusion or deportation, and start over with a notice to appear at a removal hearing. This process is commonly known as repapering, and it's a process whereby the deportation or exclusion proceedings are administratively closed, and the government instead initiates a removal proceeding to allow the petitioner to apply for cancellation of removal and those forms of relief, which were not available when they were initially charged. This narrow exception does not apply to Mr. Wu either, particularly because the petitioner did request repapering. However, Department of Homeland Security did not agree and declined to repaper. And secondly, a final order of exclusion was issued in this case when the board affirmed the immigration judge's decision, and this exception requires that no final order be entered. If there's no further questions from the panel, I'll briefly conclude.
Mm-hmm.
Since IRERA specifically states that its provisions, including cancellation of removal relief, are inapplicable to aliens in exclusion proceedings commenced prior to April 1, 1997, and Wu does not qualify for any of these exceptions to this rule, the petition for review should be denied.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much,
Thank
Counsel.
You.
Anything further, Mr. Block? You have about 30 seconds.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Again, my position on the effect of the MTR, the specific basis on which it was submitted to the court, whether in fact that modifies in any way, shape, or form the nature of the proceedings, I think is certainly something for consideration, and I'm not aware that there's any authority that says that an MTR, in fact, cannot somehow change the nature of the proceedings. Again, I believe that this case took place and was considered by the judge 15 years after the time the gentleman came into the country, and it was 10 years after the time that suspension and exclusion distinctions were repealed by statute. And there is no event that ever invoked the stop time rule that applied before through issuance of the OSC or NTA. For all of those reasons, I think he's eligible.
The case is taken under advisement. Our final.